2 weeks of incessant bombings supported by a deadly ground incursion, and now the world watches in horror as Israel kills up to 200 civilians in just 2 days in the Gaza Strip. Israeli forces have been targeting hospitals and mosques and killing entire families in their homes, with the overall death toll rising to 560 and counting. US President Barack Obama insists Israel has a right to self-defense. How will history look back at the massacre taking place in Gaza? I'm Homa Lizghi, and you're watching The Debate.
Israel is pressing ahead with its brutal onslaught against the besieged Gaza Strip. Scores of Palestinians have been killed in the latest attacks by Israeli forces in the besieged territory, including several who died as a result of Israeli shelling of Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital. The majority of victims are civilians, including women, children and the elderly. In addition to phosphorus bombs, Israel is reportedly using weapons which it previously used in both Lebanon and Gaza. Shells that spray out thousands of potentially lethal darts. Human rights groups have condemned Israel's use of shells called Fletchet. The shells are to blame for many deaths in Lebanon and Gaza in the past.
This is very much a part of a U.S. strategy and an Israeli strategy, an opportunistic strategy in the region, knowing that at this precise moment we have the extreme situation in eastern Ukraine, the world's attention focused there. And so there is a small window of opportunity for Israel to continue, really with impunity, these ghastly war crimes.
This is done with the complicity of Western governments. They are seeing the images, they are privy to all the things that are happening on the ground in Gaza. They're not sheltered from any information. They have everything, and they continue to give staunch support to the state of Israel. And it's utterly scandalous, particularly coming from governments who are constantly going on about human rights, about violation of human rights.
Thousands of Gazans have been forced to flee their homes since Israel began bombarding their territory from land, sea and air 2 weeks ago. Meanwhile, Palestinian resistance fighters are continuing to strike back at Israel as the war is raging on. Rockets fired by the resistance fighters slam into Israeli cities and towns without a pause, causing casualties and fear among Israelis. Inside Gaza, Israeli forces have suffered heavy losses. More Israeli soldiers are being killed by Palestinian fighters. The soldiers have died in ambushes or IED attacks by the Palestinian resistance fighters. More than 100 Israeli soldiers have been wounded, though Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has promised to expand the attacks on Gaza. Many believe that Tel Aviv is seeking a face-saving exit from the war. Hamas has already said any ceasefire must guarantee the lifting of Israel's years-long siege of Gaza and also the release of Palestinian prisoners languishing in Israeli jails. The next days are decisive with regard to the course of events in Gaza.
You're watching The Debate. Joining us now live from London is Mr. Sukant Chandan, filmmaker and political commentator, and with us also from London, journalist and political commentator, Mr. Richard Millett. We'll start the debate with my first question addressed to Mr. Millett. Now, Mr. Millett, looking at the reports, the images, whatever you may consider coming out of the situation, the war on the Gaza Strip, is there any room left to support what Israel is doing there, even if we, as President Obama says, believe that Israel has a right to self-defense? How can that be justified when we're seeing what's happening to innocent children, women, civilians?
Obviously, this is a tragedy for the Palestinians, and it's a tragedy for the Israelis. But as we recall, that there was a ceasefire offered to Hamas 5 days ago. Hamas completely rejected it. And instead, they infiltrated through the tunnels that they dug deep from Gaza into Israel. And 10 of them tried to infiltrate Israel. They would have gone on to possibly massacre people living on a nearby village. And this is the problem. Israel has found 18 attack tunnels that are going from Gaza into Israel. They've destroyed 18 of those. They've discovered another 45 of those. The problem with this is that Hamas is so proficient at building attack tunnels that they obviously are, and building rockets to attack Israel.
Well, Mr. Milot, if I could just ask you this question. If I could just ask you this question. How does this, however, justify the fact that hospitals, for instance, are being targeted? The fact that we saw today the Al-Aqsa Hospital in central Gaza being attacked, is that somewhere that Hamas uses to launch rockets into Israel? Why are we seeing entire families being killed in residential areas? Why did we see what happened in the Shuja'iya district yesterday?
Hamas is known as tragic. This is tragic. But Hamas is known for firing rockets from nearby hospitals, mosques. They even found 20 rockets in a United Nations school a few days ago. A United Nations school admitted finding 20 rockets inside the school, and they apologized to Israel. Now, Hamas, if they were so proficient at building attack tunnels that go from Gaza to Israel, why are they not building shelters to hide their people in? Israel does that. Israel builds air raid shelters.
Yes.
Why doesn't Hamas want to help and protect its own people?
Even if we do consider to be true what you're saying, I still can't bring myself to, believe that this will justify the killing of innocent people. But I'll stop you there, if I may, and go to our guest, Mr. Sukant Chandon. Let's have his view on this as well. Mr. Chandon, we're hearing the same rhetoric now by Netanyahu when he says Hamas is responsible for what's happening. Hamas is responsible for the hundreds, more than now I'm seeing on our screens, 570, etc., people who've been killed. Hamas is responsible for this happening because it rejected the ceasefire and because it's using people as human shields.
Well, would anyone in their right mind blame the Jewish people under the Nazis in the Second World War and before for being the responsibles for their own condition? No, no one would. And similarly today, those who have learn from the Warsaw Ghetto experience, but internalized that and then projected that out against another people who are not in the white supremacist club, i.e. the Palestinians, have done to Gaza, really what they've done to Gaza makes what the Nazis did to the Warsaw Ghetto absolutely small fry. And similarly, like the Warsaw Ghetto, the resistance in there was just, was heroic, and should be supported by all pro-humanity loving people across the planet. Similarly, the people of Gaza are supported by anyone who believes in the right to life and the right of human beings to have a decent life. The people of Palestine have been boxed in, have been usurped, have been expelled, and here you have a white colonial settler state, the last one of its kind on the planet, a formal white settler colonial state, they're the cousins of the old apartheid regimes in so-called Rhodesia and so-called apartheid South Africa. This is a regime that bombs its neighbors. It's bombed Syria what a dozen times in the last 3 years. We saw the genocidal attack against the people of Lebanon in 2006, which thankfully was repelled and was really defeated by the resistance movement there in yes. particularly South Lebanon. And the people of Gaza, unfortunately and tragically, really everyone is beside themselves in this holy month.
What do you think, Mr. Chandler, about the fact that Hamas rejected that ceasefire offer? Because that's been brought up a lot by those who are supporting the Israeli position now.
I mean, it's hilarious because, Israel could have just, so-called Israel, I should say, could have accepted the ceasefire offer by Egypt and ceased hostilities. It did not, and decided instead to project all blame onto Hamas. Now there's a separate and connected discussion that needs to be thoroughly had in relation to Turkey and Qatar's involvement in the process that eventually will lead to a negotiated settlement, at least in this particular time in history.
Right, Mr. Milot, you said there that the opportunity for ceasefire was there. But let's look at what Hamas has said to that. It says that, first of all, it was not even given the text of a proposal. It was kept in the dark about it. When Israel said that it has accepted it, then afterwards it was given the details. And then it said that since it has nothing to lose, since it's been under siege for years, what it wants is its basic human rights, the human rights of the people there. And that is at least for the border crossings to be opened, you know, for this years of siege to be lifted. That's what human rights groups have also been calling for. So why can't these conditions be met, which are not asking for much, but for the human rights of people living in Gaza?
Thanks, Rob. I hope you can hear me a bit better now. I understand a problem before. You're absolutely right. There should be possibly some sort of easing of restrictions. The problem is that Israel has been supplying provisions to the people of Gaza, but there's a problem with the fact that these, obviously, these